Welcome to the show. Today we're diving into something that affects all of us, inflation. How can we possibly predict future price changes, and what tools do economists use? It's a critical question for central banks and our wallets.
That's right. Understanding inflation is key to economic stability. If we can see it coming, policymakers can act. But it's notoriously difficult to forecast accurately.
Absolutely. And that leads us to a fascinating paper. Does money matter in inflation forecasting? It's by Richard G. Anderson, Jane M. Binner, Barry Jones, Jonathan Tepper, and Peter Tino from 2010.
That sounds like a fundamental question. We often hear about the money supply and inflation in the same breath. So, what exactly was their main research question in this paper?
Their core question was whether different measures of the money supply in the United States could actually help forecast inflation, specifically during the early to mid-2000s. It's a huge deal because a long-standing belief in economics is that money supply growth is linked to inflation in the long run. Central banks globally often use this idea to guide policy.
So, it's about validating a foundational economic concept in a practical forecasting context. Did they find that money was indeed a good predictor of inflation then?
Surprisingly, their findings did not provide much support for the usefulness of monetary aggregates in forecasting U.S. inflation. This challenges a commonly held view, at least for that specific period.
That's a pretty significant finding, almost counterintuitive for some. Monetary aggregates, you mean things like M1 or M2, the broad measures of money in the economy, right?
Precisely. They looked at a wide range of definitions, from narrow to broad, including M1, M2, MZM, and even more complex divisa monetary aggregates, which account for liquidity differently.
And none of these different ways of measuring money helped forecast inflation, even with the more sophisticated divisa aggregates.
That's correct. Across the board, they found little predictive power. It suggests that for the U.S. in the early 2000s, simply looking at how much money was circulating wasn't a reliable inflation signal.
Okay, so money didn't help. But how did they come to this conclusion? What kind of methods did they use to test this relationship? It sounds like they needed some pretty advanced tools.
They used two non-linear forecasting techniques that were relatively new to macroeconomics at the time. One was recurrent neural networks, and the other was kernel recursive least squares regression.
Neural networks, like in artificial intelligence, and kernel regression? Those sound quite sophisticated for economic forecasting. Can you explain those in simpler terms?
Think of it this way. Traditional economic models are often linear, like drawing a straight line through data. But real-world relationships can be much more complex, non-linear, like a curve. Recurrent neural networks are designed to learn complex patterns over time, almost like a memory of past data. They can handle very intricate, non-linear relationships.
So, they're like advanced pattern recognizers that can remember a lot of past information to make a future prediction.
Exactly. The kernel regression technique is also non-linear, but it has a more finite memory. It uses similarities between current and past data points to make predictions, focusing on local relationships. They compared forecasts from these non-linear models, with and without monetary aggregates included, to a simple, naive, random walk model, which basically says tomorrow's inflation will be like today's.
And the result was that even these advanced nonlinear models couldn't find a useful predictive link between money measures and inflation. That's quite a strong statement.
It is. Their best forecasting models were nonlinear autoregressive models based on those kernel methods. But crucially, these effective models didn't rely on monetary aggregates for their success.
So, the models themselves were good at forecasting inflation, but the monetary data didn't add anything extra to their predictive power?
Precisely. The non-linear models were powerful, but the money supply data in this context wasn't the secret ingredient for better forecasts. This has significant implications, especially for central banks. For decades, the idea that money growth directly translates to inflation has been a cornerstone of monetary policy theory.
So, if money doesn't help forecast inflation, does that mean central banks should stop paying attention to it entirely? What are the implications for monetary policy?
It suggests that, at least for the U.S. in the early 2000s, the relationship became unstable or too complex to be useful for forecasting in a practical sense. Former Federal Reserve Chairman Ben Bernanke noted that monetary aggregates haven't played a central role in U.S. monetary policy since 1982 due to instability in their relationships with other variables. This paper supports that view.
So, it's not saying money never matters, but that its predictive usefulness for short to medium term inflation forecasting has diminished, particularly in dynamic, deregulated economies.
That's a great way to put it. The mechanism through which money affects prices is complex and possibly nonlinear, as the paper suggests. Financial innovation and deregulation have muddied the waters.
Are there any limitations to these findings, or areas where the research could be extended? The paper focuses on a specific period and country.
Absolutely. The findings are specific to the US in the early to mid-2000s. Economic relationships can change over time and across different economies. Also, while these nonlinear methods were advanced, the choice of models and the specific definitions of money explored, while comprehensive, aren't exhaustive.
It also highlights the importance of looking beyond traditional linear models when studying complex economic phenomena.
Exactly. The paper contributes to the broader field of econophysics by applying advanced statistical and computational intelligence methods, showing how new techniques can unlock new insights. In conclusion, this paper delivers a powerful message about the practical utility of monetary aggregates for inflation forecasting. For our key takeaways, first, monetary aggregates generally did not prove valuable for forecasting U.S. inflation in the early to mid-2000s, despite widespread theoretical belief.
Second, sophisticated nonlinear models, particularly kernel methods, showed promise in forecasting inflation, but their predictive power didn't come from including money supply data.
And third, these findings reinforce the idea that central banks, at least in the U.S. during that period, were right to de-emphasize money supply figures as a primary inflation indicator, suggesting the relationship is more complex or unstable than previously thought.